good in the masses. Just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning.
Take on War Pigs, Black Sabbath classic. Following conversation that you're getting ready to hear is with a young man named Ben Shrewsbury. He is the host of Two Marks, and his show is available on Spotify and Apple and Google. Every place you look for good podcast material, good content. His show focuses mostly on wrestling and the entertainment industry, sports combat, and the NFL as well. So mostly a sports-related show with a focus on sports entertainment or wrestling. But before we started recording for his show, we were able to have a lengthy discussion, kind of a continuation of the original phone call we had to hook up and be on each other's show. So, this conversation is about 40 minutes or so, and the reason I'm including it in today's podcast is it gives me a lot of hope to be able to talk to somebody who's so much younger, and obviously their news comes from different sources and their beliefs come from a different point of view than someone my age does. But to be able to have a conversation with a young man like this and him basically point blank tell me that, you know, he gets his news from social media and headlines. So he's fed a lot of misinformation, and during the course of the conversation, I'm able to bring to light a lot of different facts that he did not know. And the reason this conversation gives me so much hope along those lines is that he didn't get emotional, he didn't get combative. He took in the facts, and with those new facts, it kind of changed his narrative a little bit along the conversation that we were having, which has to do with current events, COVID, ivermectin in the news, false hoax stories and everything that are related to that, and different political landscape, what's going on, what we can look for in the midterm elections and everything, and just going through a logical, linear conversation with somebody who's that much younger than you are, and they're able to take in that information and really run with it in the conversation, gives me a lot of hope, and that's why I wanted everybody to be able to have the opportunity to hear this. The rest of the interview, which goes on for some 3 hours, is available on the Two Marks podcast. You can find them on Spotify. I'm going to include the link for everybody on the release of this show. And then on the back end of this, we're going to have our Patience is Wearing Thin Part 2. That'll be coming out Wednesday or Thursday this week. But I hope everybody enjoys this conversation with Ben. I know I did. I had a great time being on the show, being a guest. And I know that he's really excited about the listeners and everything that are tuning in. So it was a great conversation, great time all around, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
Considering we both like Tulsi Gabbard, I don't think that was going to happen, but at least she's honest.
Yeah, definitely. And she's obviously not bought off, or else they wouldn't have done the hit piece on her that they did with Google. And, she basically torpedoed Kamala and ends up getting completely bypassed because she gets eaten up by that lawsuit with Google and Hillary. So she's obviously not part of their system.
Well, that's a reason I've started to like Mitt Romney in recent years too, because he's starting to see the fucking problem with all of it.
Well, it really, so it, my focus on everything going into the next year, like obviously going through this year and everything, going through all of the really strained COVID information and everything that's going on, there's going to have to be a couple people who bite the dust who are right now in the limelight. And once that happens, then going into 2021, then we'll be able to focus on like what the midterm elections and everything are bringing. But basically, in my view, that and Dwight D. Eisenhower actually said this in 1956, that any politician who leaves office richer than they were when they started never served the public. They're obviously a criminal or a crook. And so I think that if you, I'm doing a real deep dive on everybody who's up for the midterms and everything that's going on state by state, at least here in the seven states that surround us, from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, and Missouri. We have gubernatorial races that are going on, then we also have Senate seats and some House seats that are up for grabs. And what I'm looking at is anybody who's been that is basically going into beyond their second term. If they're an incumbent looking at a third term, basically they all need to go. And it doesn't matter what each state and precinct thinks that they have done good for them, because they're all going to say, but yeah, I voted for this, or I voted this down. That helped you. This did, whatever. I protected you with this little thing. Every person is going to have these votes that they can stand on. And I say it doesn't matter. The reason it doesn't matter is because anybody who's looking at their second or third term, you can see that they're voting along with the squad or with certain cabinets. They're voting behind Pelosi. They voted with Biden on his way up. They voted
Or they
with
voted
Bob.
with Trump
Yeah,
on his way up.
and his way up, and it goes on both sides, okay? And this is going all the way back to the Reagan era and everything. It doesn't matter if you're a blue or a red state. I think what matters right now is that both sides are basically blurred in because of what is going on with the actual ruling elite that is actually overseeing all of this stuff. If you look at the Rockefeller Institute, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation, the way that they all actually, obviously not Bill and Melinda Gates, they came later in 1995, the first time he was basically recognized as the richest man in the world. But before that, you have the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, who were very heavily involved in the creation of the UN starting in 1949. And since
Which is
then,
funny because none of them are politicians.
well, see, and this is the really weird thing about it, is because that they are so ingrained not only in the American infrastructure or the beginning way of life from the 1800s on, they're very ingrained and part of the world banking institutions. And once you get into how the money is printed and how the money is stored, and the fact that they're trying to come up with, a world currency, which is what caused Brexit 3 years ago. The fact that they changed everything over to the euro from the sterling, and now all those monies are devaluing, and some of those governments are even going towards recognizing Bitcoin as official currency. All of this digitalization of everything just points to the technocracy, which was written about in 1990. The George Bush speech in 1991 officially announcing the New World Order, and then everything that happened and came from the UN over those 10 years, where they created Ebola and made it spread, and they at Fauci has been at the center of killing people since the 80s. During the 80s, whenever the first cases of AIDS were reported in 81 and 82, when they were first officially recognized as a disease in that community, they started treating everybody with AZT, which killed people in that community by the thousands. Literally, hundreds of thousands of people died because of AZT. Do you know who oversaw that program?
Probably Fauci.
It was Fauci.
I just don't get the people that are taking fucking ivermectin. That's what I don't get. That's how you die.
Really? Hmm. Okay, so we're about ready to get into a very interesting conversation.
I don't know, man. I don't think taking horse dewormer is a good idea.
Okay. So did you know that it won the Nobel Peace Prize for improved health science in 2001 and again in 2015 for its use in people? It's been used exclusively in India, in one of their province states where the government has used it with over $231 million, and they're the 231 million people, and they're the first country in the world to be able to declare that they are COVID-free. And the Japan Prime Minister of Health completely rejected the Moderna and Pfizer shots, banned them, and started treating everybody with ivermectin to a 98% success rate.
That must be modified ivermectin then?
No, it is exactly how it was created. What is used for the horses and the cows is the modified version of it. And nobody's going out to Rural King and buying the paste except for idiots. There are many doctors who will prescribe it to you.
I think that's what Rogan did, is he went out and bought the paste.
No, he actually had it prescribed from a physician. As a matter of fact, it was Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil's fucking nuts too. Dr. Phil, there's so much shit on him. Apparently he like drugged people that were on his show, or like gave like addicts drugs or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, to heighten it if they needed it to get on camera or whatever the case was. Yeah, of course.
That's just dirty Hollywood for you, though.
Well, of course, yeah. Yeah, they're all part of dirty Hollywood. Whenever you're looking at the elite, anybody who caters to stars and all that other stuff, they're all compromised, you know? And whenever you're dealing...
Dr. Phil is not fucking excused from that.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. They're not excused from it, but there is... knowledge that is actually shared within those ranks, that if you listen to the people who aren't compromised, who are actually coming out and talking about it, which is world leaders in places that are not taking part of the shot, and places that have, if you go to the CDC and the WHO's website right now and look at confirmed cases and recovery reports, it shows in the United States there's 41 million confirmed cases of COVID over the past 19 months. And out of those 41 million confirmed cases, there are zero recoveries. But if you look at India, do you know anybody who's had COVID?
I know several people.
Actually. Did they all die?
One came really close.
But did they all die?
No.
Okay, so how can the CDC or WHO say there's been zero recoveries? You personally know people who have recovered from it.
Well,
but if you look at India's...
The one person I know that almost died lives in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And the reason she almost died is because she lives with her family, and her family is... they're not good people, let me put it that way.
Okay.
And she couldn't breathe to the point where she was unconscious, and they didn't find her for almost an hour.
Okay.
So you see where that's a problem, right?
Well, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of reasons that would lead to that. How old is this person? I mean, why do we expect them to be under 24-hour surveillance from their family? Is there a reason for that?
No, there was just... Okay. She lives with a whole bunch of people. You would think somebody would have...
I've lived with a whole bunch of people before, and, you know, whenever... back in my younger days, and I ran strip clubs, and I had basically what everybody called the stripper retirement home, and I had probably... 7 or 8 people that I lived with, there was many times I could go without seeing people. And that's in a very active house where everybody's doing drugs and everything else, where people don't even fucking sleep. And I could go a couple days without seeing people. So, I mean, an hour without someone being seen, what led up to it? What symptoms did they actually show? See, I'm only this argumentative because I actually had COVID myself.
Oh, and, I get it.
Yeah. And whenever I had COVID, I took steroids, and I not the bodybuilding kind, but the breathing kind. And I took hydrochloroquine, which was actually prescribed to me by a doctor. And I went on podcast. I was on several different podcasts. I did shows. I called Steve, and I said I want to be the first podcaster to be on the air with COVID. And I recovered in 3 days with no problems or nothing, no after effects.
I think she had an immune system issue.
Okay, so she had comorbidity. So the CDC, their report that just came out 10 days ago says that 2/3 of all the COVID deaths in the United States had 6 or more comorbidities. And that could be anything from you're a smoker, you're over 50, you have diabetes, you have an autoimmune problem of some sort, of which there's like 7 or 8 that count as different comorbidities. You could have asthma. You could have anything that leads to heart attack or stroke.
She for sure had asthma like that.
Okay, so now we're talking 2 comorbidities. Was she overweight?
No, she's thin as a stick.
Okay, so then she could be malnourished or vitamin deficient. That's another comorbidity. So 2/3 of the deaths that have happened due to COVID, this is by the CDC's report, okay? This isn't made up shit. That you can go on CDC right now, go to DuckDuckGo, go to CDC, and look up comorbidity causes of deaths. And it will show you that 64.8% of the deaths reported had at least 6 or more of these comorbidities. And they will give you the list, of which there's 28. And you'd be surprised how common little ailments and stuff like that are actually considered to be comorbidities, like being vitamin D deficient, being vitamin B deficient, being iron deficient. Those are comorbidities. Talk to a woman who's on their menstrual cycle and ask them if they're iron deficient. They are. That's a comorbidity.
So what you're telling me is she's kind of lucky she made it.
Exactly.
Because she had a lot going against her.
Exactly. And so that's how beatable this is, okay? And she lives in Japan, but she's obviously not a naturalized Japan resident. She's not a Japan native, so she wouldn't be part of their medical system. Or else
she is. She's from Japan.
Oh, she is from Japan.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And did her family take her to a doctor or get treatment, or did she just suffer through it?
I think she ended up having to go to the hospital. Like, it got that bad.
Okay, so she didn't go to a doctor and she didn't take any preventative or what they call prophylactic treatment.
No, they wouldn't take her to the doctor. That was the issue, and she doesn't have her driver's license.
Unfortunately, and that's really crazy because the Japan Prime Minister of Health came out, and this go to DuckDuckGo again and just look up Japan's Minister of Health endorses ivermectin and pulls Moderna and Pfizer shots.
Didn't pull Johnson & Johnson?
Because they don't use it there. That's what Moderna is. Moderna is basically the Spanish version of Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer.
Well, I got the Pfizer, and I'm fine.
I'm glad you are, man. That's awesome that you are. And like we talked about the other night, whenever we're on the phone with Steve, you know, you live around people who have an autoimmune deficiency or, you know, problems with that. You know, they definitely should take the shot, because if you remember 19 months ago, you know, everybody's going to, quarantine themselves for 14 days and we're going to flatten the curve. And this has been the longest 14 days on record, if you ask me, unless you read the Bible and believe that Moses lived 900 years.
I don't believe a word on the Bible because I like the truth.
Mm-hmm. So again, the 14 days to flatten the curve has turned into 19 months. And everything that has come out over the past 19 months, especially the last 3 months, where the Fauci emails got fished and now they're public, showing that back in October of 2019 that they knew masks were not going to work. And the mRNA shots, which is the Pfizer and the Johnson & Johnson and the Moderna shots, definitely were not going to work because Fauci has overseen the development of them since 2008. And on every animal trial that they have used them on, all of the animals end up dying. So they knew that these shots were not going to work with the public. And that's in his emails. And then he goes in front of Congress and says that, you know, he didn't do gain of function research and everything. And then it comes out through people's emails and transcripts of conversations that he did, in fact, know that people were going to die from the shots.
Didn't he basically admit to being an idiot in front of Congress?
Several times, yeah. But unfortunately, the only person who would stand up to him would be Rand Paul, which it's great that he's awakening to all of this and he's really trying to fight a good fight. But he can't fight too much because look how long he has been in office. He's obviously been compromised by what is actually the ruling elite. These are the people who want to euthanize and they want to get rid of as much of the population as possible. This is in the UN white papers and has been since the late 70s. And now they're trying to change everything. As soon as we get a handle on the Delta and the Lambda and the Mu variants come out and we're able to get past those without doing the boosters because the FDA has voted 14-2 not to use the boosters.
I didn't hear that. That's news to me, but you keep up with it more than I do.
Yeah, that happened Friday at 2 p.m. that news came out. That whenever they voted that down not to use the boosters, that the boosters are dangerous and definitely do not give the shots to anyone who's 16 or younger. That's the reason the two heads of their virology department stepped down 2 weeks ago, because the White House told everybody they're FDA approved whenever they said they are in fact not FDA approved. That probably won't happen until about 2025. It has not gone through trials. But the White House and Psaki have decided to tell everybody and just straight up fucking lie because nobody will do their own research and everybody believes what they're spoon fed. So that's why people like Rand Paul, who've been in office for more than 2 years back to the or two terms back to the original point, all of them are colluded. All of them are part of, or if they're not part of, they've been subject to. They have dirt on them, whether it's financial dirt, whether it's personal life dirt. They are definitely impeded from doing a good job as far as actually being a true public servant. So I think what everybody needs to focus on going into now is actually vetting out who your upcoming candidates are going to be and voting everybody out, even if it's for a lesser choice. Because if we do that during the midterms, whenever it comes time for the presidential term, and everybody's thinking that Trump's going to run, and I hope that he doesn't, because it's going to swing back to another form of idiocy. That's, again, where I think that Tulsi is by far the best choice. I don't know if she will do it because of what happened with Hillary and the whole Google thing. I think that if we are able to swing the gavel in a big, big way and just clear out part of the swamp and part of the state legislatures to show everybody that the voters are going to show up and just fucking get rid of you, that come the presidential or 2024 elections for the rest of the states and obviously the national elections, that we'll be able to actually vet out a more decent caliber of candidate, someone who hasn't been on the Hill for 20 years or someone like Biden who's been there for 50 years. Which the only three bills he's actually written and gotten passed was the War on Crime bill back in 1994. And as we all know, as an American citizen, anytime they declare a war on anything we do, it never ends well. Like the war on poverty, the war on censorship, the war on the climate, the war on drugs, none of that ends up well. Anytime they declare war, it's the war on homelessness. Go to California and tell me about that. Anytime they declare war, you end up with the worst examples possible or the most extreme examples, way worse than they were when they first declared the war itself.
It's, yeah. Let's get the show started.
Come on with it.
But I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying. Except for the ivermectin thing, because I kind of have to see it to believe it type of deal.
You know, I really invite everybody to really go. Just go on DuckDuckGo. Don't use Google, because that's all influenced by the technocracy and by paid advertisements and by who is able to write their blurbs the best. Go to DuckDuckGo. It will just pull up all of the source material, and you can research it yourself. Or better off, better yet, just go to CDC. Go to the CDC's website and type in ivermectin benefits, and there will be no less than 69 reports showing its benefits. It was invented over 50 years ago and has won the Nobel Peace Prize two different times. It was invented and initially used on people, and then a variant was used because of the mad cow disease, which is very, very closely related to Jakob's disease in people's brain. That's the reason they won't let you donate plasma if you've been around anyone who has the Jakob's variant, which is basically mad cow disease in humans. That's the reason, because it fights so well against that, they used it in the cattle industry to defeat mad cow disease. And it wins in that battle as well. But nobody's going to talk about that, the fact that it's been around 50 years and it's been prescribed over 2 billion times.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, most people don't. That's the problem. That's the reason there's people like me who will actually do the fucking research and tell people. It's just a matter of whether you will look it up yourself. Because right now you're like, damn, that's not good for what I hear on the news. But until you look it up and see for yourself, you're still going to have a doubt. But I would advise that you go ahead and you look it up as soon as we get done with the show. And you're going to be like, fuck, I could not even be worried about this right now.
Well, here's my thing. I don't watch the news because it's all a bunch of bullshit anyway.
So you're hearing secondhand information and being social media fed.
Better, for more or less, yeah.
Yeah, that again is the problem. Too many people have their eyes down instead of their eyes up and looking forward. You're looking down at your phone and you're being fed the information. And this is a generational thing. I'm 50, you're 20-something, right?
22.
Okay, cool. All right, so you do not know a world without a cell phone. Better yet, you do not know a phone without at least MySpace. You don't know that world. I do. So I came up in a particular way because I was always taught to question authority and to always question anything I was being told to do, especially by the government. And anytime you're being told by the government, 9 out of 10 times, it's going to be bullshit, it's going to be a cover-up, and it's going to be something that's not as beneficial for you as they are telling you it's going to be. And anybody who feeds into that, because right now we're able to do what makes you feel good. There's so much of, you know, that hurts my feelings, or that makes me feel good, so you can't do that because it hurts somebody's feelings, or you can do that because it makes you feel good, even though it's immoral, or whatever the case is, or it's just a weakening of the backbone of the country, because we're always catering to the lowest common denominator whenever you look at a lot of social media sites, and you look at who grabs the headlines and whose headlines are actually suppressed, because right now there's a huge wave of burying the truth. Everything that I has told you in the past 7 minutes is why I've been banned off of Twitter and Facebook.
Well, I mean,
even with source material attached to it, they still banned me, okay?
Because if you just came out and said this and didn't have anything to back it up, you'd kind of just
sound like a kook. I know, I'd sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I promise you, brother, everything I'm saying can be vetted. Everything I'm saying while I'm saying it to you, if you got someone else in the room, have them fucking look it up. I promise you what I'm telling you is true.
It's like, it's weird to me that, like, okay, so here's my thing.
Okay, come on.
I don't think we should have elected Trump the first time. I wasn't old enough to vote when that happened, by the way.
Okay.
So don't blame me for that.
No, I don't blame anybody. People went with their emotion. You know, basically what we were doing is we were, the craziest thing to say about this right now, like if Thomas Jefferson all of a sudden was, if we were able to clap our hands and bring him from the past, he'd show up and he'd be like, you haven't added anything to the papers? Like, he wrote all that shit by candlelight with a fucking quill, and we haven't changed it. We're still doing a popularity contest to see who's going to run the country of 300 million people. So we basically had an emotional decision based on the lesser of two evils. Hillary and the Clinton regime has been proven to be completely evil and corrupt for 40 years.
Well, she's not going to run again.
Well, no, but this is, if we're talking about the Trump election, this is what happened. People who were old enough to vote, everybody who's my age remembers Bill, and they remember all the Arkansas sex scandals. They remember, you know, the real estate scandal and the 236 dead bodies attached to the two of them. Everybody knows about that.
Sex trafficking in Ohio.
Yeah, you know, with Epstein and everything else. So, everybody who's my age, we remember that, and we did, and so there was a lot of people who you basically had to cast the vote because we can't do that fucking evil again. We can't. That bitch is a degenerative crone. Look at her. She can't even stand up fast without passing out, bro. How can that be the president of the United States? So anybody with any common sense or anybody who is riding on emotion, and America always swings back and forth. We go from decent to worse, from worse to corrupt to idiocy. I mean, you had Reagan, then you had Bush, then we go to Clinton, then we go back to Bush, then we go to Obama, and now we got a crazy fucking whore with dyed blonde fucking hair. That's what Trump is, okay?
Who caused a fucking riot.
Again, that is some, were you there?
No.
Okay.
I saw it through pictures, basically.
Uh-huh. So did you see the, this Saturday? Did you see the, free the, political prisoners rally for January the 6th this past Saturday in Washington?
No, they had one of those.
You know why you didn't see it? Because, unfortunately, after January 6th, a lot of people learned their lesson. Were the feds and a lot of people that are involved in the corruption on Capitol Hill and everything, they plant what they call agent provocateurs, people who will really rally everybody up and cause problems to make the whole rest of the action look bad. Kind of like what Antifa did at all the BLM movements. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did the same thing to Trump and the Capitol Hill because it was just a protest. There was nobody charging the Capitol. That was a group. It's on record. There's a group of 187 people. And one of the people who was actually arrested and shown breaking down the barriers and pushing open the walls was just at a White House press conference 2 months ago with Biden. Yeah, that is weird, right?
Here's my thing, though. Trump was no better than Biden. I don't think either one of them are better than each other. I think they're both awful.
Yeah, and that's the point. That's exactly what I'm saying. The one thing is you can't skip around from one to the other and say, well, this guy was worse than the other one. All of them who have been involved, all of them who have been there for at least two terms, all of them who have been involved in Washington politics, all of them who have been involved in Capitol Hill politics, all of them who have been involved in national big business, which includes Trump, which includes Biden, which includes Obama, which includes the Clintons, it includes fucking all of them. The Bushes, all of them.
Credit to Obama, though. He kept the peace pretty good.
However, he did drone kill more people than anybody on record.
I mean, stateside, though, he did keep the peace pretty all right.
Well, okay. And his, the fact that he couldn't go for a third term.
Well, he couldn't have. He was president. It's a two-term limit.
Yeah, there is a two-term limit. And the fact that he wasn't able to run again led us to the best possible outcome of Hillary Clinton being the next candidate. Like, that was a good choice. You think that wasn't set up, that, like, they knew she was going to lose? Who in their fucking, I mean, outside of 40% of people that, have you ever been polled? Have you ever had anybody call you up and say, hey, we got 10 questions. We want you to be involved in a poll.
No.
You know who answers polls?
Who?
Idiots. So 40% of America going into the election, we're going to vote for Hillary. That was from the get-go. And at the very best, one day before, it showed in those polls, again, conducted by and received and answered by fucking idiots, it got up to 51%. That was the best odds she had. So that was their best candidate?
It was 99%. That was fucking horseshit.
Yeah. That was their best candidate, really? Like, they torpedoed Bernie Sanders again.
That poor guy.
Okay, you think the Democratic Party isn't corrupt or they aren't compromised, just like the Republican Party? They both are. That's the meat of the issue of what I'm talking about. Everything I talk about leads back to that we have to get to not a center of the aisle or a bipartisan, which for people your age, you know that word did not exist before 1992?
Really?
There was no such thing as bipartisan politics up until then. It wasn't until Bill Clinton said, got to do it for the children, that we came up with the bipartisan term.
So they just pull this shit out of their ass.
Bro, that's, yes, now you're waking up. Don't be woke, get awake, okay? fucking learn shit. There's too much stuff that is spoon-fed to people. Too much stuff that we just accept as fact because you see it in print on your screen, whether it's your computer, your phone, or your tablet, or your fucking iPhone, or your iPad, whatever the fuck it is. We get spoon-fed so much, and we just take the headline, we take the snippet, and we're like, oh, did you see the other day 7 fucking cats killed this guy? And then come to find out, fucking dude jumped out the window and 7 cats ate him, because that's what cats fucking do, but they didn't kill the dude. And that headline happens all the time. And people accept it as fact.
Or the reports of violent crime in big cities, how, like, 17 children will get killed, but this one other guy gets shot, and they report on that instead of the 17 children getting run over by a bus.
Yes, there you go, okay? So there's always the rest of the story. There's always something to dig in deeper. Don't always
And don't tell me that's never happened, because I guarantee you it did at least once.
Oh, no, it's happened several times. Look at what happened 2 summers ago with all the BLM riots that happened.
Wasn't there, like, an attempted school shooting in the midst of all of that?
Uh-huh.
It didn't go over well. It didn't happen, but, like, wasn't it attempted at one point?
Yeah, you know why it didn't get any national media attention?
As opposed to what it would have 2 years earlier?
Uh-huh, because it happened in a gun-free zone, and we were too worried about supporting the BLM. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that that cause itself is a great thing. It should have been, we shouldn't even be at the point in this time in history, 60 years after Martin Luther King, that we even have to be fucking discussing this. The problem is that that movement itself is founded by two people who are Marxist socialists, on record as saying they follow the Marxist handbook of socialism. That's who the two people who are who run BLM. You can look
that
up.
That's just bad leadership. That's just bad leadership.
Okay, so you have the cause and you have the leadership. Okay, so we have to separate the two. The cause is just. The cause is right. The leadership, how it's being pushed.
The cause shouldn't need to exist, because at this point where we are in society, it should just be a thing. But
we're too busy discussing our pronouns. Okay. we're paying, and so that none of this is a, you know, a lot of people my age, you know, I'm sure you have used the term or heard somebody call somebody my age a boomer or whatever the fuck, even though I'm a Generation X guy, we still get referred to as boomers or whatever. But the problem isn't you guys, okay? Even though a lot of people my age are going to be like, this generation. Anytime I hear somebody say that, I say, this generation is your fault. You're talking about your own kids. You're talking about your grandkids. Shut the fuck up. The problem is when we allowed it to start with participation trophies. And now we have a third and a fourth generation of kids being raised by their grandparents and men being raised by women. That is the problem. And if you look at every great society and every great civilization's downfall, it's whenever this mix-up starts happening that those civilizations fall. It happened to the Greeks. It happened to the Romans. Happened to the Polynesians. Happened to the Russians at the turn of the century. Happened
the divorce rate is also kind of a fucking problem.
Uh-huh. So, whenever
people don't realize, like, and I figured this out kind of just doing some research, the divorce rate in America is getting to the point where it's starting to cost taxpayers money.
Yeah, the divorce rate in ERA happened in 1974, okay? And in 1972, the national divorce rate was 18%. By 1979, it was 30%. By the mid-80s, it was bordering on 50% in most areas. And it has gone up. It's still about 55%. It hasn't gone up exponentially like it did whenever divorce was like just a free occurrence. Every woman wanted to be free, which I don't blame them in a lot of situations. They're in horrible relationships. All these, you know, strong, silent types who didn't want to talk about their feelings. All this shit, all the byproducts of the 50s, 60s, and 70s all came to fruition, and women said we had enough, which they should have. Again, the cause is just. The problem is the leadership. Whenever it gets moved into this militant direction, which is what we're seeing right now with BLM or what we saw last summer, it's what we're seeing right now with the entire medical tyranny that's going on right now. You have every right and justification to take the shot based on what you believe, but nobody has the right or justification to force me to take it. That's the discussion, but everybody wants to blur the lines and say you need to protect other people. Find me a scientific report at any time in history going all the way back to the beginning of polio or smallpox in the early 1900s, whenever we first came up with vaccines, that people were administered vaccines to protect other people. You've only taken vaccines to protect yourself. That's the reason there's never been a flu season where they said, protect your grandma, get a flu shot.
I always thought that verbiage was strange.
Right? So now all of a sudden we're changing science. We're changing reality. Freshman biology teaches us that you take an inoculation to protect yourself from a possible virus. Now all of a
whatever
sudden,
whatever it may be.
Right, no matter what it is. But the problem with it is that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is no different than the common cold, as far as the way it's built and the way that it acts. And the reason they have never come up with a vaccine for the common cold is because as soon as it gets fought, it changes. You can never pin it down. It constantly mutates because it's a live...
I'm starting to think that's how COVID's going to be, too.
It's exactly how COVID is. It's what it was. It's what it's always been. SARS and COVID viruses have been around since the early 2000s. Don't you remember H1N1?
H1N1. Everybody thought that was going to be this.
That was
COVID thing.
Yeah, that was a SARS-CoV disease. That's the reason on Lysol since 2007, it has said it will not work against COVID. Did you know that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So what the fuck? Why are we acting like all of a sudden we've come up with something that is able to defeat basically what is no more than the common cold? The only reason it's more dangerous is because this version, the SARS-CoV-2 strain, is a chimera of five different diseases, of five different organisms. It's been a manufactured cell. And this research was overseen starting in 2008, and it was being done on Chapel Hill in North Carolina, overseen by the NIH, Dr. Fauci, and Obama. And then whenever they got caught for gain-of-function research in 2012, they moved the lab to Wuhan.
I don't think it was created in a lab. I think it's gotten a lot worse over time, because diseases can, as we said, transform, modify. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if that is your logic, okay, all right, let's go down this path for just a second. If that is your logic and this disease has always been around,
I don't think that's a broken logic.
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying let's follow your train of logic here, okay? If that is the case, then why hasn't more of the world died from COVID since it's been around for so long? Why haven't we ever...
Some of it is human evolution with the whole immune system thing.
Viruses do not mutate other than naturally to stay alive, which means they become less deadly. That is what all viruses have done. That's what the Black Plague did. It mutated to where it became less deadly, because if it stays so deadly, it kills off all of its host. And as a living organism, it wants to stay alive. It's not a binary thing. It's living just like the rest of us are.
The death percentages are way down.
Mm-hmm. And at their worst, there were still only 1.5% worldwide of people who actually caught it. Whenever you actually backtrack the results, if you go to the CDC or the WHO's website right now and look at world statistics, your chances of walking out the door today and catching COVID today is literally 0.00022%.
That's with the vaccines factored in and everything else?
No, it is not. It's been that since day one. It's been that since January of 2020, as soon as they started reporting cases. The problem is they keep showing everybody worldwide numbers. 40,000 people today caught it. 80,000 people today caught it. Well, of course, it's spreading. It's a more viral or a more infectious version of the cold, which at the end of the day, the cold and the flu kill people. We all knew that from the beginning, right?
I knew a girl in middle school that died from the flu.
Okay. Do you know anybody who has died of COVID?
know anybody directly, no, but I know people who have family members.
Let's back that up. You cannot increase the sample size to make your story sound better, not your story. I'm just saying you can't increase the sample size to get to your logic. People you know directly, you know someone who died of the flu. People you know directly, you do not know anyone who has died of COVID. So
I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it hasn't.
You can't hedge your bets. It either has or has not happened. Okay, we have to look at this in a very logical, linear way. We have to take emotion out of it. We have to stop extrapolating everything to make it the worst case scenario. And this is what's happened to so many people, because over the past 19 months, you've been fed so much of this plandemic porn where every day it's the end of the world, everything is the end. Everything is worst case scenario. So now we start to extrapolate.
Worst case scenario, they would have stopped doing live sporting events altogether.
So again, money always follow the rich white guys. Wherever the money ends up at, if they're allowing their shit to go on, it's not as bad as they're telling you. And it's been that way with the U.S. government and the U.N. since the 1950s.
What's your opinion on Vince McMahon? I think he's a corrupt piece of shit.
Vinnie Mac. Vinnie is the Barnum and Bailey of our day and age, and yes, he is corrupt. Anybody who makes that much and is able to squash all of their competitors and then turn themselves into that mountain of money, whether it's propped up on paper or real, anybody who's able to put themselves in that situation, they have to be corrupt. You cannot trust anybody with six zeros in their bank account. They've done something. Promise you.
Yeah, what he's done is scam his workers and fucking...
Yeah, and he learned that from his dad. You know, even back in the territory days, Vince Sr. was very well known for promoting that he was going to bring a talent to a territory, then pulling the rug out from underneath of him to make, the Jarretts look like fucking dickholes and everybody else, you know, and all the territory guys. He did that shit all the time.
Way of reducing your liberty and reminding you that they can fuck with you anytime they want, as long as you put up with it. As long as you put up with it. Which means, of course, anytime they want, because that's what Americans do now. They're always willing to trade away a little of their freedom in exchange for the feeling, the illusion of security. What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from? In this country, have you noticed this? The media constantly running stories about all the latest infections, salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu, and Americans they panic easily, so now everybody's running around scrubbing this and spraying that and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous, and it goes to ridiculous lengths. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. Well, they don't want you to get an infection. And you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick. It would take a lot of the sportsmanship out of the whole execution. Fear of germs. Why, these fucking pussies. They can't even get a decent hamburger anymore. They cook the shit out of everything now because everybody's afraid of food poisoning. Hey, where's your sense of adventure? Take a fucking chance, will you? You know how many people die in this country from food poisoning every year? 9,000. That's all. It's a minor risk. Take a fucking chance, bunch of goddamn pussies. Besides, what do you think you have an immune system for? It's for killing germs. But it needs practice. It needs germs to practice on. So listen. If you kill all the germs around you and live a completely sterile life, then when germs do come along, you're not going to be prepared. And never mind ordinary germs. What are you going to do when some super virus comes along that turns your vital organs into liquid shit? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get sick, you're going to die, and you're going to deserve it because you're fucking weak and you got a fucking weak immune system. Let me tell you a true story about immunization, okay? When I was a little boy in New York City in the 1940s, we swam in the Hudson River, and it was filled with raw sewage, okay? We swam in raw sewage, you know, to cool off. And at that time, the big fear was polio. Thousands of kids died from polio every year. But you know something? In my neighborhood, no one ever got polio. No one, ever. You know why? Because we swam in raw sewage. It strengthened our immune systems. The polio never had a prayer. We were tempered in raw shit. So personally, I never take any special precautions against germs. I don't shy away from people who sneeze and cough. I don't wipe off the telephone. I don't cover the toilet seat. And if I drop food on the floor, I pick it up and eat it. I eat it. Yes, I do. Even if I'm at a sidewalk cafe in Calcutta, the poor section, on New Year's morning during a soccer riot. And you know something? In spite of all that so-called risky behavior, I never get infections. I don't get them. I don't get colds. I don't get flu. I don't get headaches. I don't get upset stomachs. And you know why? Because I got a good, strong immune system, and it gets a lot of practice. My immune system is equipped with the biological equivalent of fully automatic military assault rifles with night vision and laser scopes. And we have recently acquired phosphorus grenades, cluster bombs, and anti-personnel fragmentation mines. So, when my white blood cells are on patrol, reconnoitering my bloodstream, seeking out strangers and other undesirables, if they see any suspicious-looking germs of any kind, they don't fuck around. They whip out the weapons, they wax the motherfucker, and deposit the unlucky fellow directly into my colon. Into my colon. There's no nonsense. There's no Miranda warning. There's none of that three strikes and you're out shit. First defense, bam, into the colon you go.
I'd be pretty surprised if you mandated it for any element of the general public.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory.
And no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
We're not counting on vaccine mandates at all.
Those are decisions the federal government is not going to make.
You're not going to see a central mandate coming from the federal government.
That's not the role of the federal government.
You know, at the federal level, I don't have the authority to either mask mandate or vaccine mandate. That's not what we do at the federal level.
Definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
There will be no federal mandate.
This is a decision that historically has not come from the federal government around vaccine mandates.
That has not happened ever, to my knowledge. At a national level.
And no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
No federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
I don't see it on a national level, merely because of all the situations you have upon encroaching upon a person's freedom to make their own choice.
Local businesses, local jurisdictions will work towards vaccine mandates. That is going to be locally driven and not federally driven.
Can we mandate vaccines across the country? No, that's not a role that the federal government, I think, even has the power to make.
There's no secret that I feel that we should not have central mandates from the federal government.
What I think you won't see is a requirement for the federal government to have people get vaccinated.
I wouldn't anticipate that we would be putting requirements on private sector companies.
I don't think you'll ever see a mandating of vaccine, particularly for the general public.
There will be no nationwide mandates.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
But we don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general public. It would be unenforceable and inappropriate.
Alberta's health minister says unvaccinated with their GMO shot will not be permitted to attend indoor private gatherings. Imagine if 20 years ago they said, oh, this Franken potato, this Franken tomato that has insect genes in it, the study show makes you sick. We're going to make you eat this or you can't have private gatherings. You'd laugh at them. But now through hysteria, like dominoes falling, Canada, Canadian health minister says uninjected, not allowed to attend private meetings. So this is North Korea. We're going to play the clip coming up next segment. They are just introducing this to everyone. Canada officially establishes martial law. Canadian health minister, I mean, how do you say that? It's so hard to even say. Canadian health minister tells unvaccinated they are not allowed to have private meetings in their own homes.
Number one, two FDA highest level advisory boards just came out, and I also have Tim Menlo here with another update on the border, just came out, one on Friday, one on Saturday. One was 26-1 vote, the other was 16-2 vote. So close to unanimous, saying, quote, these vaccines aren't vaccines, they're drugs and they're failing. This is going to discredit, you're in danger of discrediting vaccines for generations. And the quotes go on, you should not give any of these vaccines to children and you should stop the boosters.
My must be right. My must be right. My must be right. My must be right.